run circles round and round in my head.
You haven't shared your experiences, which are far scarier than what I just experienced.
Okay? I think the entities around me, they probably know that, even though I keep saying like I'm open to it and, you know, it might not be such a bad idea to befriend something, I think they kind of understand that I wouldn't completely go into it. So I think that's why they stay away from me. So my experiences are very mild. Like, I just get, like we were discussing the last time, whenever I'm watching something, like, demon-related or gin-related or whatever, sometimes when I'm upset or when I'm, you know, like, not my best self, I just get, like, a really uncomfortable feeling. And it's not an uncomfortable feeling, like, oh, I'm scared, because, you know, I don't get scared with that stuff. Like, I love watching it. I've always been obsessed with this kind of stuff. But it's a feeling of heaviness. I just feel like there's like a massive weight on my chest and I can't breathe. And that's the only thing that makes me turn it off. When I'm watching videos like that, it only happens, like, this is the point, that it only happens when either I have anxiety and or when I'm like, I'm sad about something goes wrong in my life and I'm like crying my eyes out. Because usually I watch videos like that. I'm constantly on YouTube looking up videos of like demons caught on camera, ghosts caught on camera. And I love that. That's my entertainment. It distracts me. I could be like so angry about something and I watch a video or two and it just makes me happy. It's like my source of happiness. But when there are times when I'm like really, really low and I watch these things, it's not that I don't want to watch it. It's not that I'm not enjoying it. But I just, like, it physically becomes impossible for me to breathe when I'm watching it. And, you know, like, my mom notices it.
Really?
Like, even when, like, most of the times I'm, like, with my mom, because she like, I've kind of gotten her interested into this stuff as well. But we're watching it together. And she would just, like, look at me and she'd be like, are you okay? Because I'm literally, like, gasping for breath. I'm, like, just taking, like, really, really long breaths. And it's just, I can't explain it. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, yeah, because I just, like, had a really heavy meal. Maybe that's why I can't breathe. But sometimes I'll be, like, sitting on an empty stomach and I still wouldn't be able to breathe. I don't understand why that is.
Yeah, that's really strange, because I don't think you get scared at
all. No, I don't get scared. Yeah, I haven't actually, like, physically come across something. But, like, yeah, watching stuff, hearing about this stuff or, like, reading stories, I don't get scared. But there are places, and I know those are the times when mentally I'm just like thinking, yeah, it wouldn't be so bad if I had like a friend that I could talk to, or, you know, if I had a demon that I could talk to about these things, because at least it would be something. Like I said already, I've lost complete faith in all humans. I don't like humans at all, and it's those.
Thanks.
It's, you're not a human. You're creating like alters.
Yeah.
And
thanks. I'm a witch.
You're already possessed.
I'm a baby bitch. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, like it's those times when I really feel like I just can't breathe when I'm watching these things. And another thing that happens to me, remember I told you, like, I think I told you before, because I wasn't really paying attention to it, I told you before that, you know, there are times like I go through these phases when I'm like, either, like, I feel, like, super, there's something around me, like, something's, like, if I'm going up the stairs, I feel like something's going to grab me from behind. If I'm sitting in a room, I would actually feel like something's sitting right next to me. And then there'll be, like, 5 or 6 months of complete normalness. There's, like, no such feeling at all. And then, like, after that, it'll be, like, 1 or 2 months when I would just constantly feel like there's someone around me or someone close to me. I've started paying attention to when it actually happens, and it kind of coincides with, again, when I'm like going through something bad, or, you know, I'm feeling really anxious, or I have like something that's upsetting me. It's only those times when I constantly feel like there's someone with me all the time. You know, like I'd be like sleeping in my bed, and I would be so sure if I open my eyes, I'm gonna see a face right next to me. Or like I'm walking up the stairs.
Yeah, I know how that feels. And I'm sure a lot of people know how that feels. Yeah. Because when you feel a presence, you're very sure. Mm. You're very sure about it. And obviously, everybody applies scientific logic to it. Oh, no, you know, it's our brain playing tricks. And we all know that. We all are smart enough and intelligent enough. But somehow, when you're sharing this experience that you are very sure that somebody is there in the room with you, I know exactly how that is, and I'm sure a lot of people know exactly how that is, because I've listened to some other experiences where people are very, very sure that, you know, no matter what amount of logic they apply to the situation, they're just in their heart, they just know, you know what, this sixth sense that, you know, the hair on the back of the neck just stand, and you just know, you feel it. It's like a cat sense or something that you just, you're very sure that there's something with you or someone with you and someone watching you. So I totally believe that. So what I'm interested in is, what logic do you apply? Like, what's your theory? Why do you feel this out of, you feel out of breath and that heaviness? And what's your supernatural theory and what's your logical theory?
So I'm going to talk about my logical theory, because I feel like a lot of people will actually turn to that. I think it's, you know, I'm pretty sure you've heard of placebo effect. So if you think that something's going to work, you will see the effect. Like, if you think something's going to behave in a certain way in for your body, you will see that effect. So, I mean, if I'm thinking that, you know, yeah, I'm feeling anxious and I'm not happy and, you know, I want a demon to be around me, I will start seeing a demon around me, even if it isn't actually there. I would just, like, imagine that my brain would make me see it. So I think logical explanation would be that I'm feeling all of those things. You know, I feel like someone's sitting next to me, or I feel like I can't breathe. There's a heaviness on my chest. It could just be the weight of the emotions. It could just be the fact I'm like feeling so miserable that I can't physically, like my body isn't able to cope with it. And that's why I can't breathe. Or if you think about the other like supernatural explanation, I think it would be like there is probably something around me that's trying to latch on to me. And it's it's those vulnerable moments when it feels like maybe this is my chance, maybe this is my opportunity, and it tries to attach to me. And for whatever reason, like, it's not able to do it completely, but it's just able to make itself known. Because, I mean, it's varying degrees. Like, there have been times when I've seen, not exactly, like, seen, like, shadows moving around, but I would feel like something's there, and I just look and there's nothing there. And there've been times where it's just something very subtle, like I said, like I would just feel like there's someone behind me, and then I look back and there's nothing there. It's just a feeling, but I just feel like it just feels very, very real. Like, you know, like if someone was standing right up close to you, like right behind you, and you would just know, even if you didn't look back, you would know that someone's there.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's a feeling like that. But then there have been times when I've actually seen like something move in my room. I don't know if I told you this or not, but this is one time when I was like, literally, I was sitting in my living room, and we have like a leather couch. And, you know, if you sit on a leather couch, it just makes like sort of like a sound. Yeah, so anyways, okay. I was sitting on the floor and my back was towards the couch. And, you know, like, I just felt like, you know, like, you know, if you move on a leather couch as well, you just feel like something, like, it just makes, like, a very weird noise. I just felt like it was that noise, and I looked back, and I was like, oh, maybe I just imagined it. And I started doing whatever I was doing, and it just made that sound, like, as if, you know, like, someone sat down. And I was like, what? You know, I looked back, and I don't know if I imagined it or if I actually saw it, but I'm pretty sure I felt like I saw the couch sort of like, it just seemed a little bit sunken, but not completely sunken. Like if a person was sitting on it, obviously it would like be a lot deeper indentation, but it was just like just slightly sunken. So I don't know if I just imagined it.
This is absolutely terrifying, because the exact scene and exact thing happened to me and my brother. I was in 12th grade, so I was not a kid. And my brother is like 8 years younger to me. So he was definitely a kid, but not like a baby kid. So we both were like pretty alert, and we can recall it pretty clearly that this happened. So exact same thing happened. Exactly the same thing. It was afternoon. We used to live in this apartment. It was rented. And my mom used to keep on feeling these certain things. And she's not one of those people believing in supernatural and blah, blah. Even though she has had experiences, she always blames it on some logic. Maybe it's the weather. Maybe it was the lightning or something. She always has an explanation. Yeah. She's lying to herself, basically, because she has even had collective experiences. Wow. Paranormal experiences where she and my sister or she and somebody else with her have experienced the same things. Visual, auditory, like there are too many to deny, but she somehow doesn't pay any attention to them, not because she's scared, just because she's like too creative and pretty busy to pay any attention. So she doesn't really cool, by the way. Give a shit. Thanks. So anyway, coming back to me and my brother and the couch thingy that you just narrated. So we were in this house. I was like 17 years old and we were watching the TV. We were on this couch. It wasn't leather, but it was like a regular couch and like pretty big. And it made the same sound that you were telling me when you sit on it. And it's like, that sound of there's like a very signature sound of the couch when someone sits on it. I was sitting on the couch. It was like a three seater, and I was sitting on one end, and my brother. So he was sitting kind of in front of me, and I was hugging him, and we were watching this cartoon. It was hilarious, and we were passing expert comments, and we were having a good time. And we were alone in the house, and it wasn't like a big house. It was like a two-bedroom apartment. And we were chilling. Suddenly, you know, the feeling that you get that someone's in the room, someone's watching you, and like someone's standing right beside you, even though you can't see anything. Yeah. Someone came and sat on the seat right next to me, like in the middle of the couch, in the three-seater, the middle seat. In my peripheral vision, I couldn't really see with my eyes, but it was such a strong feeling that someone just came and sat. Mm-hmm. And as they sat, the seat, it was depressed, and that sound, the sound came, and someone sighed like this. You know, when you sit and you're tired, and I did not react because my first thought was that my brother would be scared, even though it was very clear. The sound was very clear and the seat was depressed and I could see it. I turned my head and I saw it. Like everything happened in seconds. Yeah. The decision that I will not react and the seat depressing and everything, it was like two seconds. And I didn't move and I just did not react at all. And my brother, who was sitting like almost in my lap and like he was too big to sit in my lap, but I was kind of like being playful with him. I was hugging him, holding him, and we were talking. Yeah. He just turned his head with such a frightened look on his face. And he was like, oh! You know, he just turned, he just turned his head and looked at me face to face. And his face was so frightened because, and I knew he heard the same thing and he just knew that somebody was there and somebody sat and somebody sighed and he totally heard that and, you know, the depression of the seat and the sigh. He totally heard that. We just knew. We looked at each other and we just knew we heard the same thing. We had the same experience. But even then, since he was a young kid, he was like, I don't know, 9 or 10. I did not react because I kind of, within seconds, I just took this decision that, okay, you know what? If I react, he'll be like really scared. And I just kept on looking at him. And he finally spoke. He was like, did you hear that? And obviously, I didn't want to lie to him. I said, yes. And we both just ran at the speed of light to the other room. And the apartment was so small that there was not enough space to run to. So like we couldn't hide anywhere. Yeah. So, and we were so scared. We just ran to another room. We didn't know what to do. And I don't remember after that how we overcame that. And I don't know what we did because it was a long time ago. But this experience is like engraved in my brain. And till date, I was thinking, oh, you know what? Maybe some collective hallucination, maybe carbon monoxide leakage, even though the house was not, it had absolutely no source of CO leakage. But, you know, I still apply logic. Some chemical leakage, collective hallucination, some science behind it. But listening to you, thank you so much. And you have the audacity to tell me I'm possessed and haunted. Yeah, right.
Well, I have a family possession. So I just like to think like the things that have possessed my grandma and her brother and most of her family, actually. I just feel like they sometimes do visit. I don't know. I just feel like that.
Those things you have told me, they're really scary. I'm pretty sure that you're not making
it. No. I would, we would talk about it in detail. Mm-hmm. I think that a really good way of telling, I'm not trying to justify what I'm saying, but a really good way of telling if a story is correct or not, or if it's a lie or not, because a lot of people struggle with finding out if someone's telling the truth or not. If it's a true story, you would get a lot of details, and you know, the actual incidents wouldn't be that detailed. A lot wouldn't happen, but it's with any other sort of lie. It doesn't have to be a supernatural story, but any other story. If you get a lot of details about, you know, what was happening, like you said, you were sitting with your brother and you were watching a cartoon and blah, blah, blah. All of that is it's quite detailed, the explanation that you gave. That just makes me feel it's real, because, you know, you have all that engraved in your head and you remember all of these specific details, even though the actual incidents were just you saw and you heard something and that was it. But if it wasn't a true story, for example, I'm pretty sure it would be I walked into my room and I saw a black demon come right in front of me and it chased me down the street. And then it came over me and it possessed me and then it made me do evil stuff. So it would be a lot more about what happened afterwards instead of what happened before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of people, whenever I tell my friends that I've watched demon videos on YouTube and I watch paranormal investigation videos, and they're all just instantly they're oh yeah, that was fake, that's fake, I'm pretty sure it's fake, it's not real. But you can actually tell, and you know, there are some channels who are just you can tell that they're fake. You know, I'm actually thinking about making a compilation of the fake videos that I've seen. And I mean, it's just so obvious that they're fake. And I thought it was pretty obvious. But then when I read comments and, you know, even my mom, sometimes she falls for it. And she's like, no, but, you know, it's real. It shows that it's real. And I'm like, no, it's not. And then I would give her the explanation. She'd be like, yeah, you're right. Actually, it does look kind of fake. And then there are videos which are real and you can tell they're real. And even though it's not embellished, they don't have scary music and they wouldn't wince and scream on every single little sound that they hear. You can tell that it's real. It's very real. So I think with the stories as well, if you see an immense reaction from the person who's talking or who's telling you the story, and if they tell you like a massive thing, because I feel like a lot of the times with demons and stuff, I'm not an expert. I'm not a paranormal investigation. I don't know anything about demons and djinns and stuff. But I feel like they want to stay away from humans just as much as they want to stay away from them, unless there's a specific reason. So a lot of the times people say, oh yeah, I saw a black shadow and it followed me and, you know, it grabbed my hand and it whispered my name and told me,
painted my name
and wanted, you know, wanted to have sex with me and blah blah blah. I think that's a lie. I don't think those kind of stories are real. I don't think that happens or can happen. But if someone told me I saw a shadow figure and I looked at me and looked back and it was gone and that's the end of the story, it's much more believable for me. That sounds a lot more realistic. Because I think the more you watch these videos, you kind of start to see the patterns and stuff. You kind of start to realize that you can tell which ones are real, which ones are fake. So yeah.
I haven't watched videos, but obviously I'll talk about Reddit again because I'm obsessed with it these days. So there's a subreddit called Paranormal. Mm-hmm. People are supposed to share their real experiences without any embellishments or anything. Yeah. They're supposed to do that. And a lot of people write stuff which is pretty obvious that it's true and they're not making things up as they go along or not adding things to something small that has happened, because you can just tell. So anyway, I'm not an expert in doing that, but that community is so awesome that when somebody tries to frame a story or tries to lie about things to be to get upvotes or whatever it is. People, they just catch the lie. Somehow it's like such a talent. I don't know how they do that. But just, some people are really good at it, catching lies and in stories. And I think you're really good at it. So I would really recommend that you visit that subreddit for heaven's sake and read a couple of stories. As soon as there is a post where I can never tell, but most of the people just call out the bullshit. They're like, quit your bullshit. You know, they can just call it out. And it makes things so much easier for me because I don't think I'm really good at it. So, I haven't watched the videos yet because the ones I've watched, they seem pretty fake. And if they don't seem fake, I think that would be a problem as well because I'd be really scared. Yeah. But reading about the stories in that paranormal subreddit, a couple of others, I think it's like a really entertaining and like really interesting.
Yeah, no, I definitely like reading about it. And I think, I think if, you know, like if nothing else, just like keep this with you that if, paranormal instances, sorry, I'm just not making any sense. My brain's dying. I'm just like...
maybe it's a demon, maybe it's carbon
maybe
monoxide.
Maybe I pissed off into more, so I don't know.
No, but I don't think you did because she just told me. Ew. Anyway, carry on. Don't ew her.
Don't ew her. Oh my gosh, shut up. But yeah, if nothing else, just remember that paranormal incidences, like they can happen over time. Like a lot of the time when, you know, like if they're haunted house or something, it will happen over time. It's not going to be like one incident and that's it. But it would never be like one long incident. It would probably last a few seconds, a few minutes. It's not going to last days or hours or whatever. You know, like that video, the paranormal, what is it called? I can't remember what it was called. That it's not a video, it's a movie. Yeah, Paranormal Activity. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
they showed like the beginning of it was very believable because of like small things happening. It only happens like within a few seconds and that's it. But then towards the end, it gets a bit, you know, like you can tell that it's fake because it's just like, oh yeah, so much is happening. And like, you know, this person's just like standing there for hours and hours and hours. Yeah, I don't think in real life that would happen unless, like, unless you have a really bad luck. But yeah, other than that, I think all of these paranormal things, they only happen in, like, short, very, very brief incidences. Incidences, yeah. It would only happen, like, within a few seconds or within a few minutes, and it wouldn't be a lengthy thing. So if someone's telling you a story how they met a demon and decided to have children and the demon, like, stuck by them throughout the pregnancy... I don't think it's real. I don't think it's true.
Oh, really? The paranormal experience in itself wouldn't be like a complete 3-hour long movie. The person experiencing it, the way they're explaining their experience and how they felt and what they were doing, that would constitute 90% of the story. And the main thing, the paranormal activity, would be like one or two sentences.
Yeah.
So that's how you tell that it's true or not. I mean, that's like a rough rule there.
Yeah.
Okay. Another thing I wanted to ask, this couch thing you told me, because I'm like hung up on that. I'm like so scared about that. When did this happen? The couch thing?
So that only happened a few years ago. So I think I was, it hasn't been that long. It's probably been about 7 or 8 years. And I know it does sound like a long time, but when you're an old hag, 7 or 8 years, like a blink. it wasn't like a thing that happened to me when I was younger. When I was younger, I had like other stuff happening. It wasn't demons, it was my own dreams that was like killing me. But that thing only happened because I think something significant happened to me 7 or 8 years ago, and after that I think I'm just a lot more susceptible to these things. I'm just feeling a lot more things now. Like, I've always been interested in the paranormal since I was very young. But 7 or 8 years ago, I think I told you about this. I went on a holiday to Pakistan because that's where these people go for holidays. And
even me. That's like really sad.
So it was then that I went to Pakistan, and obviously I have relatives there, and I'm 100% sure that someone there did some magic or some stuff they did on me, and they performed something on me. And
oh my god, this is like a totally different episode about
we'll do it in more detail.
all these things, because that's like a totally different world and you have like first-hand experience of it and I have none. So I'm so interested in that, and we need a totally separate, like at least 100 episodes on that.
Yeah, we'll do it in a lot more detail then. But it was right after that trip. I think it was like a couple of months after that trip, and a few, like 4 or 5 months after I came back, things just, it was like a lot more pronounced. Like that's when I actually saw things moving. I have never seen things moving on their own, but that was one time when it actually happened. Like I saw some things move on a couple of occasions. So yeah, definitely something happened there.
Oh my God, this is such a cliffhanger.
By the way, I was doing some research on Hamzat. Remember I told you about them yesterday?
Oh yeah.
I was doing some research on them, and they have a link with magic and stuff. So, So basically, like, you know, like, I mean, I had this theory. I wasn't really sure about it, but I remember, I don't know if I told you this, but I always say that, you know, like, magic exists because demons exist, and, you know, like, people can manipulate the demons and use those demons to change things in another person's life.
Hmm.
So it turns out, this is what I find, it turns out that your Hamzats can actually do that for you. So you wouldn't personally have to go and talk to a person and, like, you know, not talk to a person, talk to a demon and, like, you know, ask it to go and destroy someone's life. But your Hamzat can do it for you. So apparently there's a skill where you can actually control your Hamzats.
I know, it's in yoga. Astral body.
What?
It's like a complete different study, and like I've read.
Why are you so calm about it?
Because again, I read it on a Christian blog that yoga is demonology, so nobody cares.
Okay.
I think now I understand what Hamzat is. It's like your astral body. Yeah, it's your astral body, and when you can do lucid dreaming and astral travel, and you can talk to entities there. It's safe for some people and it's not safe for some people, because I don't know, it depends on the level of energy you possess and it varies from person to person. This is so interesting. I mean, I'm being my pants, but
yeah. I actually saw like a really interesting post on Quora this morning when I was researching stuff about it. Someone had actually said that they met someone on a train and, you know, the person like just started talking about this other person's like personal life. They started saying like how many siblings this guy has, what he does for a living, and then it went into like details like, I know exactly what you're carrying in your handbag. So it was like the guy was like, he kept asking him like, how do you know, and he wouldn't tell. And then the guy was like, later on he asked someone else who knew about this sort of stuff, and then they said that basically a person can, I mean, like you said, they can control their Hamzat. And then their Hamzat can actually have a chat to your Hamzat and ask secrets about you and then convey it to their master.
Oh my God,
and then,
this is like totally so mind 100% reading. Astral plane discussion. Completely. Yeah. Astral travel, astral body, there are like books on it. And this is, you are talking like exactly about that. So I'm like very excited.
That's interesting. I'll have a look into astral.
My astral body wants to visit your astral body.
You're welcome.
And I'll wake you up like this with this. You'll hear this laughter in your ear while you're sleeping.
Oh my God, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna hear it anyway all the time now.
Sorry,
it's not something that I can forget.